Okay, now I have the thumbs up. We start the message. Pray that the Lord will bless it and that he would speak. Not me, the Lord would speak. So this morning I would like to speak about a very familiar passage in the Old Testament. It is the contest between David and Goliath. Many times this passage is viewed as a story for Sunday school children, but there is much that we as adults could learn from this event. We may be facing difficult times in our lives and are seeing difficult times in our nation, but God can defeat any giant that comes in our lives. It's not cliche, any giant. We're going to be reading this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to begin at verse 1 and then skip around a bit. So if you open your Bibles, we will be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel chapter 17, and we'll start with verses 1 to 11. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephrath-Damon. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like the weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield carrier also walked before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So we know, if you do the math, Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Verses 5 to 7 describes the armor of Goliath. The armor that he was wearing weighed about 125 pounds, just the armor alone. The spear head weighed about 15 pounds. Goliath also had someone to carry his shield. What a sight this was. And Goliath said, "I defy the ranks of Israel." He was defying God's people, God's children. If someone messes with your children, you will react. You will defend them. Goliath was messing with God's children. Big mistake. Now in verses 12 to 31, I'm not going to read it, but David was sent by his father, sent by his father Jesse to bring food to his brothers who were at the battlefield. The Israelite army, along with their king Saul, was dismayed and very fearful, as we read. Goliath was taunting the Israelite army for 40 days. When David reached the army, he heard Goliath intimidating and taunting the Israelites. In verse 26, the one verse I will read, verse 26, then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" Notice the difference in reaction of the Israelite army and the reaction or the perspective of David. The entire army, including King Saul, was fearful. And one young man said, "Who was this Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" The difference is that David really knew God and therefore had a different perspective. The army, not knowing the Lord as David did, could only react in fear. But David perceived the threat as an affront to his God. And in verses 28 to 30, Eliab, David's brother, belittled David and mocked him. It's those few sheep in the wilderness. But who did the Lord use to kill the giant? David. Eliab mocked him. "Now you, and what are you doing over here?" He said, "You're like a bratty kid. Go back to those sheep, those few sheep over there in the wilderness." But who did the Lord use to kill the giant? In other words, don't let anyone destroy your faith. David had the faith that he could kill the giant naturally with God behind him. Eliab, his older brother, was trying to destroy his faith. "You and those few sheep in the wilderness." But David really knew God. His faith could not be destroyed. Don't let anyone destroy your faith. You, together with God, are greater than an army. And remember one other thing. We fight. When we have faith like that, faith in God, as David did, we fight from a place called victory. Because faith doesn't know defeat. Now David, in verses 32 to 49, we're going to read it, verses 32 to 49. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go again against this Philistine to fight with him. Few are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." I just want to stop here a minute. The faith that David had, did you ever see the paw of a bear or the paw of a lion? You know, one shot like this against David would have ripped him to shreds. They would have been bleeding all over and falling to the ground. David knew his God. He knew God. That was the difference. So Saul said to David, "Go and may the Lord be with you." Verse 38. Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." And David took them off. You can't fight with human armor. You fight with the armor of God. That's what that shows. You fight with the armor of God. Humanity cannot help you at this point. And he took his stick in his hand and chose for him 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand. And he approached the Philistine. Now you picture this. Takes off all his armor from Saul and approaches the giant with a bag with some stones in it and a slingshot, and goes up to the giant. Picture this now. We don't just read it. Picture what's going on over here. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. He hated him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." Watch David's answer. This verse has to really ring in our ears this morning. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with the sword and with the spear and the javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's." The key right there. "And he will give you into our hands." Then it happened, when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it. And the stone struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank deep into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Now David knew God so well that he had the confidence that he could kill the giant. Even when Saul tried to talk David out of confronting Goliath, David would not change his mind. Eliab tried to discourage him and mock him. "You and those few sheep over here, like, who do you think you are? You're a bratty kid." That's what he told his younger brother. And now Saul tries talking him out of it. And what does David do in response to Saul? He informs Saul about how he killed the lion and the bear. Like I said, picture the paw of a lion and the paw of a bear. One shot like this, and David would have been finished. These were great challenges, but David knew and trusted the Lord. He remembered his past experiences and spoke of them for the glory of God. Remember your past experiences and what God has done for you, because it will be encouragement for what you may be going through today or what you will go through in the future. And at this time, at that point, Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Now these words, "Go and may the Lord be with you," are actually translated as "God be one with you." Very important. God be one with you. Do we have that close communion with the Lord that we are one with Him? Are we so much filled with Jesus that we are one with Him? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. Are we so filled with the Holy Spirit that we are one with Jesus? If so, when we face giants in our lives, it is He who will take them down. He was, is, and always will be victorious. Remember, with faith in Jesus, we fight from a place called victory because of Jesus, not of our own strength. Then David put on Saul's armor and realized he could not use it. Now, we read, and I'm not going to read now, it's another whole message, but Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, we are instructed to put on the armor of God. Items such as the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Our victory in battle comes from the Lord and His weapons of warfare, not any earthly mechanisms or our own abilities. If we trust in ourselves and our own abilities, we will fail. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." The line from a hymn states, "The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own." Our faith is in Jesus if we want a victory. We need to depend on the Lord for the giants in our lives. He is a proven victor. After removing Saul's armor, David took 5 smooth stones from his slingshot from the brook in the valley of Elah. These smooth stones were fit for use for God's purpose. They became smooth because water was constantly running over them. So it is with the Christian. We become fit for God's work by remaining in His teachings, under His wisdom, and under the control of the Holy Spirit. The Lord makes smooth the rough edges in our character. We all have them. He makes smooth the rough edges in our character and personality and makes us fit and ready for work in His kingdom. Picture the following scene. David runs towards this giant, 9 feet tall. What could David put him in? Maybe say 5'10", 5'11"? I don't know. But 9 feet tall was a lot taller than him. And I always say, if that were me, I would run the other way. David had such a faith. He runs towards this. I mean, you read about giant, say, 7 feet tall or a little bit above 7 feet. Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. He wouldn't fit in the room in your house. The average ceiling is 8 feet. Goliath will not fit in your house. How many times do we not want to face our trials or our giants? We may say or think, "I wish things were different. I wish I didn't have to face this." But you know what? Faith doesn't know retreat. Keep that in mind. Faith does not know retreat. It doesn't know what retreat means. David was not overwhelmed by the giant and all his armor. His armor probably weighed like 125 pounds. By faith, he knew that he could defeat the giant. Otherwise, he never would have been on the battlefield. David had a very strong, unwavering faith in the Lord. How could he have such a great faith? The answer is how well David knew God. He really knew God, and that is evident in the book of Psalms. Briefly consider, God's knowledge and David's knowledge and communion with the Lord. David spent much time with the Lord. That's evidence in Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. David knew and had communion with the Lord. Imagine waking up in the morning knowing you are still in communion with the Lord. That means he fell asleep thinking about the Lord. When you open your eyes, Jesus is the first person on your mind. Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is so vast and deep as to be immeasurable, unsearchable. We say that God is almighty, but we don't understand or even know the extent of his greatness. It's infinite. You know, God is greater, like, than our wildest imagination. We don't know the greatness of God. We come to him with the problem, and it's big to us, but with God, it's like a speck, or even less. It's less than nothing to God. His greatness, his ability is unsearchable. But every time you pray, as we said before, in the name of Jesus, the golden scepter goes up, and all his power is available for our problem, no matter what it is. Psalm 147, verse 4. He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Wow. I mean, that shows a speck of the wisdom of God. He counts the number of the stars, all of them. That is 10 sextillion names at a million, at minimum. You have a million, a billion, a trillion, quadrillion, 10 sextillion names at a minimum. That's how many stars there are, at a minimum. He's got a name for all of them. Now think of it, how many names do we know? Whether male, female, or a name for your pet or whatever? I don't know, 50, 100? A minimum of 10 sextillion names? I mean, that boggles your mind, that blows your mind. But this power is available to us. Now, Dylan mentioned something in his prayer this morning, a prayer for this church. God could do it. Can everybody hear me? Very low? Yes. Mic is on, new batteries this morning. Okay, so 10 sextillion stars at a minimum. How great is our God? Psalm 27, verses 1 to 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. David knew God well. Psalm 9, verses 1 to 3. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. David had spent enough time with God to know his nature. Can we say that we know the nature of God? Do we know the nature of God well enough so that we were able to stand in the face of the giants that will confront us in life. If David didn't know the Lord as well as he did, he never would have been able to defeat the giant. We will have giants in our lives. We want to really know the Lord before we face these giants. David knew God and what he could accomplish through the Lord. So David runs toward Goliath with the faith so strong that it did not waver at the sight of this immense man or at the sight of his armor. Goliath cursed David and said he would be food for the wild animals. But with the strong, unwavering faith and confidence in the Lord, David answered with a voice that did not crack or tremble. Did you ever a person get nervous and the voice start cracking? Not David's. He told the giant, and this verse is like key to this message. This is verse 45 of First Samuel 17. You come to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. At this point in the spiritual realm, Goliath was no longer facing David. He was facing the Almighty God. Clearly, Goliath was no match. When David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, in essence, he was saying, I'm coming against you with the power of the Almighty God. Because of these words, Goliath was virtually dead even before David shot the stone. We have access to the same power. Remember that this morning. This isn't just a nice story in the Old Testament, you know, a nice Sunday school story important ideas for adults and important lessons. We have access to the same power. In other words, if we were in the Valley of Elah, we could have done the same thing if we had the faith that David did. We have access to the same power. We may not be facing Goliath, but we have giants in our lives. Access to the same power that David had. Access to the power of God. Do we believe this? How do we pray? Well, we say, Heavenly Father, I come to you, or thank you that I can come to you in the name of Jesus, the almighty, matchless name of Jesus. What did we sing this morning? I speak Jesus. Speak Jesus over your giant. Speak Jesus over your problem. Now we had needs that people came forward with this morning. We have needs such as that little girl, five-year-old girl, Sophia, with what they say is inoperable cancer. Speak Jesus over whatever is your giant in life. I don't know what it is. I know giants I have in my life. I may get news this week that yes, there is cancer in my tongue. Jesus is greater than the giant. Don't forget, cancer is afraid of Jesus. So if it's in my tongue, I speak Jesus over the cancer in my tongue. You have giants this morning. Now Dylan mentioned this morning about this church. Maybe it's a giant for the revival of this church. God could handle it. Does it look like a giant to you? It's nothing to God. He can do it. I don't care what your giant is. I'm not just saying to sound nice. I'm saying because of the God we serve. I don't care what your giant is. God is greater. Whatever you bring to him, it's greater. You can't stump him. Whatever you bring to him, it's greater. We have access to the same God, speak Jesus over your giant. We have the same power that was available to David and defeated the giant is available to us when we are facing giants in our lives. Power to meet every request, every need, no matter how great it is. Power to heal every sickness and every disease. Power for your request, Sandra, for your son. Infinite power. You pray for your son. You remember the God that killed the giant for David. Power to heal every sickness and every disease. Power to balance every budget. Power to save to the uttermost. Power to do the impossible. Impossibility doesn't exist with God. It just doesn't. Mind-boggling, beyond our wildest imagination, infinite power of God. Now, a commentary about David confronting Goliath. It's a terms for conflict were not at all as they appear to either Goliath or to Israel. David conceived the battle to be that of mortal instruments of war on coupled with blasphemy on the one side and the Lord of hosts on the other. Clearly, Goliath was no match. David put his hand in his pouch and removed a stone. In a sense, David looked like a fool. His weaponry was a slingshot and a stone in front of a man 9 feet, 9 inches tall with a slingshot and a stone. He looked like a fool, but not in God's eyes. With God behind the slingshot and the stone, they became fatal instruments of war. David's faith in the Lord was so strong that he knew it would only take one stone to kill the giant. Picture it. If David shot a stone and it missed its mark, the giant would have a chance to shoot an arrow or his sword at David. David would have been dead. I'm sure the giant would not have missed. So David had to know that one stone was going to kill the giant. That's the faith he had. It wasn't the second, third, fourth, or fifth stone. He knew one stone was going to do it. That's how well David knew God. With an arm that didn't tremble due to his faith, David shot a stone that the Lord guided into the forehead of the giant. The giant was covered with armor from head to foot, except a small spot in the forehead area of his armor so air could get through so the giant could breathe. That's just where God directed the stone. God directed the stone. While the entire army was cowering in fear, one man who really knew God and had an unwavering faith killed the giant. David was standing in front of a giant, 9 feet, 9 inches tall, covered in armor. David wasn't covered in armor. He didn't have a sword, but he had the Almighty God with him. In order to have the faith that David had, you need to know the Lord really well. You could know him well only by spending much time with him in prayer and in his word and in worship. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Where is our faith this morning? How well do we know the Lord? How much time do we spend with him in prayer and in his word and in worship? We will or are facing giants in our lives. The only way to be prepared to face these giants is through a strong, unwavering faith and an abundant knowledge of the one who can defeat the giants for us. We've had many messages about really knowing the Lord and increasing our knowledge of Him. The only way we could have faith when facing our giants is to know the Lord really well. Our amount of faith is based on our level of knowledge of Him, right? One goes with the other. Our amount of faith is based on the amount of knowledge of Him. If we want to have a strong, unwavering faith and to be successful when facing our giants in life, and we will face them, we need a deep, abundant, and ever-growing knowledge and revelation of the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to stop over there. We're going to get down to pray. We've had a very encouraging message, so if someone would like to raise a prayer to conclude the message, then we will.